السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. Welcome to another lesson of Quranic progression, and inshallah ta'ala today we're going to continue from verse 17 onwards, Surah Al-Mutaffifin. From what I remember, last week we did verses 15 and 16. We definitely did verse 15, but I don't remember exactly if we did verse 16. I think that we did, but unless someone corrects me and says that we didn't, I'm going to continue from verse 17. Because I kind of remember doing verse 16, but I'm not 100% sure. So if someone could just confirm that, or if they say that we haven't, then I will go back to verse 16. But otherwise, I assume that we covered verses 15 and 16. But just as a brief recap, we were speaking about some of the, or those verses speak about some of the punishments that Allah Azza wa Jalla will give to the people of disbelief on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, and those people who did some, because of their rejection of Yawm Al-Qiyamah, their disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the evil that they did, Allah Azza wa Jalla is speaking about different types of punishments. So obviously, as we mentioned now, over the last few lessons, their record is in Sijjin, and then Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions what Sijjin is, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now is speaking about some of the other punishments that they will receive. So we mentioned last week, and we spent quite some time on the fact that they will be veiled from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we mentioned the different points of benefit from that verse in terms of the aqeedah benefits, but in terms of also how this is a punishment from them, and how some of the scholars said that this is from the worst of punishments. Just as seeing Allah Azza wa Jalla is from the greatest of rewards for the people of Jannah, then not being able to see Allah, being veiled and screened from Allah Azza wa Jalla, is from the worst of punishments for the people of the fire. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they will go into the fire. So they're screened from Allah Azza wa Jalla, which means that is before they are even placed into the fire, then they will be thrown into the fire. ثُمَّ إِنَّهُمْ لَصَارُ الْجَحِيمُ. So they will be made to taste the fire. That's where they will stay for all of eternity. And Allah Azza wa Jalla now in verse 17 will tell us the third type of punishment that they will receive. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ ثُمَّ يُقَالُ هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تُكَذِّبُونَ. In verse number 17, the translation of Dr. Mustafa Khattab, and then be told, this is what you used to deny. And the Sahih International translation, then it will be said to them, this is what you used to deny, Professor Abdul Halim, and they will be told, this is what you called a lie. And Muhsin Khan, then it will be said to them, this is what you used to deny. Allah Azza wa Jalla in verse number 17, now is speaking about a third punishment that they will receive. And as we mentioned last week when we went through verse 16, ثُمَّ إِنَّهُمْ لَصَارُ الْجَحِيمُ, we mentioned, for example, the statement of Ibn Ashur, rahimahullah ta'ala, how Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying ثُمَّ, and the word ثُمَّ means then. And then usually, or the word ثُمَّ in the Arabic language is used for a taraqi. It is to show that something will follow on from something else, right? So like we say, and then I went to do something, and then I went out, and then I came back, showing that this follows on from something which previously happened. So likewise in the Quran, or in the Arabic language, the word thumma is also used for tarahi. And so this is why we said that some of the scholars said that these are in order, right? These are the three things that happened to them in order. Allah Azza wa Jal screens himself from the disbelievers on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And as we mentioned last week, there are some scholars such as Al-Hassan Al-Basri, I believe it was, rahimahullah ta'ala, who's of the position that everyone will see Allah initially, believers and non-believers, and then Allah Azza wa Jal will veil them, veil the disbelievers from himself subhanahu wa ta'ala, or at the very least at the beginning they will see the light of Allah Azza wa Jal, if not Allah Azza wa Jal himself, and then they are veiled and screened from that. And then number two, ثُمَّ إِنَّهُمْ لَصَارُ الْجَحِيمُ, then they will be made to taste the punishment of the fire. And this is now number three, ثُمَّ يُقَالُ, and then it will be said to them. It is said to them, meaning that the statement is given to them, and يُقَالُ is not the same as يَقُولُ or قَالَ. يُقَالُ refers to, قَالَ means he said, but يُقَالُ, it was said to them. or it will be said to them, right, in this context, because it is speaking in the future, and often in the Arabic language, as you know, the present and future tenses are merged. So Allah Azza wa Jalla here says, yuqalu, it will be said to them. And so who says this to them isn't mentioned in the Quran. So usually when Allah Azza wa Jalla says qala, what it will be said to them about the Day of Judgment, it is Allah Azza wa Jalla that is speaking, unless there is some evidence to show that it is the angels or someone other than Allah Azza wa Jalla. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says yuqalu, it will be said, we don't really know who the speaker is, because Allah Azza wa Jalla uses now a different form of the verb. And the Arabs have this thing where something is مَا سُمِّيَ فَاعِلُهُ وَمَا لَمْ يُسَمَّ فَاعِلُهُ. Either you know the one that's doing the verb, so the one that's walking, the one that's eating, the verb, the person doing the verb, so the actor is known. Or مَا لَمْ يُسَمَّ فَاعِلُهُ, or you don't know who that is. Like we say in English, it was said, right? Someone came and ate. Who was that someone? We don't know. So likewise in Arabic language, they do this also, but in the verbs, they use it in a certain way whereby you will know that it was something done without knowing who it was that actually did it. So you say, for example, yuktab, yuqal, yu'kal, all of these like different types of verbs that you get in the Arabic language. مَا لَمْ يُسَمَّ فَاعِلُهُ, the actor or the one that did the verb is unknown. So likewise, Allah Azza wa Jalla is mentioning here that it is someone who will say this. And so it's possible that this is from that which the angels will say. It's possible that this is what the angels of the fire, the guardians of the fire, the angels that are the gatekeepers of the fire, that this is what they will be saying to them. And it's possible that others will say this to them, such as the believers. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. But either way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it will be said to them as a third type of punishment and humiliation and disgrace to them, that these people will say to them, this is because of that which you used to deny. And Allah Azza wa Jalla already say to us, as we mentioned a few lessons back now, وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ, woe on that day to the deniers, الَّذِينَ يُكَذِّبُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ, those who denied the day of resurrection. Allah Azza wa Jalla already said that they are people who rejected and denied. Now Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that from that which will be said to them by way of further humiliation, punishment, disgrace, is هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تُكَذِّبُونَ, this now what you're seeing, what you're suffering in the fire, is exactly that which you used to deny and that which you used to reject. Al-Imam al-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala said, it will be said to these people on Yawm al-Qiyamah, these people who denied the Day of Judgment, this عذاب, this punishment that you are now in and experiencing on this day, هو العذاب الذي كنتم في الدنيا تخبرون أنكم ذائقوه فتكذبون به وتنكرونه. It's the very same punishment that you, the one that you're facing today, or you're experiencing and tasting right now, is the very same punishment that in the dunya you used to be informed of, that you will face it if you don't believe and you used to deny and reject. فَذُوقُوهُ الْآنَ فَقَدْ صَلِيتُمْ بِهِ, so taste it now, for now you have actually been thrown into it. And that's why Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala said that this is being said to these people by way of further humiliation, further punishment, further disgrace. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that this is that which you used to deny, and now it has come back to you in a way that you can't deny it any longer. And that's why the teacher of our teacher, Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, and in these verses, meaning this one and the previous two, Allah Azza wa Jalla is giving us, or speaking to us, or the last few verses rather, Allah Azza wa Jalla is warning us against sins. So from that verse in which Allah Azza wa Jalla says, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, rather there came upon them something which veiled their hearts, right? That cover of their hearts that we spoke about a couple of lessons back. He says that Allah Azza wa Jalla is warning us all against sins, because sins, even for the believer, what they do is every time we sin, a part of the light of Iman is extinguished. And it keeps on getting darker and darker, and more of that light becomes extinguished or covered, until that person's insight, that person's ability to understand guidance and to accept guidance and to increase in Iman, or even accept Iman, that dies with them. And so therefore everything then turns upside down. فَتَنْقَلِبُ عَلَيْهِ الْحَقَائِقِ, he said then everything turns upside down. فَيَرَى الْبَاطِلَ حَقًّا وَالْحَقَّ بَاطِلًا, and so he begins to see the truth as falsehood and falsehood as truth. And this is from only some of the repercussions and punishments of sins. And so every time a person sins, as we mentioned, there is a black dot that is placed in that person's heart, and that then increases and increases the more that they do. But as soon as they turn back to Allah, they make tawbah, they make istighfar, they do good deeds, Allah Azza wa Jal removes it from them. And so Shaykh As-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala is saying that that can get to a level where a person no longer has the ability to understand anything because of how darkened and blackened their heart has become. And Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, in his tafsir of this surah, he said that therefore you can see that Allah Azza wa Jal in these verses, when he speaks about the punishment of the disbelievers on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala joins for them the physical punishment and the pain of being in the fire, the punishment and punishment of the emotional sense or the psychological sense. And that is because Allah Azza wa Jal tells us that they will have physical punishment as being thrown into the fire, but there will also be a psychological punishment that they will be told, if only you had believed, if only you had denied, if only you had rejected. Right? All of this is said to them so that they can understand how close they were, like how easy it would have been, how it was just a decision that they made that changed everything. And that is often the nature of the dunya. A small decision that you make can have lasting repercussions. And anyone that studied history will know that to be a fact and true. How often in history, because of the decision of a person, of a leader, of a general, of a king, the whole course of history just changes. And just simply because of one or two things that that person did, right? So, you know, the examples of this are so many. Anyone that reads any type of history, but including Muslim history. Why did the Mongols invade the Muslim lands? It was because the leader of that, what used to be the kingdom of Khwarizm, the area of what is modern-day Uzbekistan and Azerbaijan and all of that area, they had some traders coming in from the Mongols and they decided to kill them. And so when the Mongol leaders asked for reparation, they said that, look, you killed these people, pay, as people used to do, give us blood money, pay for their debts, give us, like, you know, bring. And then what they did instead is that they responded, they said, no, we're not going to listen to you, we're not going to give you anything. And so the Mongols, who before that time didn't really pay any attention towards the Muslim lands, now focused all of their attention, because they saw that as a big humiliation. They actually came and they focused all of their attention on the Muslim lands. That's just one leader and one decision. Had he maybe paid that off, maybe the invasion, and obviously everything is by the decree of Allah. Allah decreed, as Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, لِيَقْضِي اللَّهُ أَمْرًا كَانَ مَفْعُولًا, so that which Allah had decreed would certainly come to pass. Meaning these things happen because Allah decreed that they would happen, and then other things would come to pass. But the point is here is that those decisions sometimes people make not realizing that there are major repercussions, major issues that come as a result. And that is the same with these people. They had a choice to make and they made that choice, maybe thinking that it was insignificant, as people often do in our times. They think that religion isn't an important issue, not a big deal. So what? A big deal. What's the worst that's going to happen? Right? That's the kind of attitude that people have. And so therefore, they're not really going to put any time and effort into this issue. Well, it was that decision, that nonchalance, that you know, just, oh, it's just a small thing. Well, that's what's going to come and give them the worst type of regret and remorse. If only maybe I had listened a bit longer, I had tried a bit harder, I had maybe looked into this a bit deeper, I had spoken to a couple more people. That's the kind of thing that will be going on. And we all have those regrets, right? Just in everyday life, that job that you missed, that opportunity to make money, maybe that person that you could have married or you didn't marry, or whatever it was in life. Right, had I only just taken a moment longer, had I only just listened, had I only. And obviously in the dunya, for the believer, that's not a good thing. In the law, يَفْتَحُ عَمَلَ الشَّيْطَانِ, as is mentioned in some narrations, to say if only opens up the door for shaitan. So it's not a good thing for the believer to think about, other than in losing the opportunity to do good deeds. That's the example, that is the exception to the rule, because the Prophet ﷺ often used to say about good deeds, لو استقبلت من أمري ما استدبرت, if I could only go back and do it again, I would have done it like this, meaning in terms of good deeds. So that's a different issue. But the point is that that's the way that the people of the fire will be thinking on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And Allah Azza wa Jal shows that therefore they will be allowed to continue to have that anxiety and that worry, because if the believers are saved from anxiety and worry, then it only makes sense that the people of the fire are immersed into the worst type of worry, anxiety and grief. And from that is that thing that just continuously goes over and over again in their mind. If only, had I not listened, had I been just listening, or had I just taken that opportunity. And therefore for the believer, that's also very important. How many opportunities for good deeds do we allow to pass us by? If only I had listened. If only I had taken out a minute or two extra of my time. If only I had started a year ago just doing a verse of the Quran, just reading one hadith, just doing 5 minutes of dhikr, just reading that extra nawafil, just giving a few pounds in sadaqah, how much would that have built up over time, right? And this is what we don't do, because all of us, including myself, we are negligent in that way. And so this is where we need to also try to be more mindful, more conscious of the opportunities that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to us, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us that opportunity, but often we don't see opportunity, especially when it comes to the small things. Because anyone that makes something insignificant, like the big things, you're probably likely, and even then sometimes we don't, but you're more likely to spend more time and effort in them, right? So marriage or a job or a career move, that's, you're going to like spend more time. But the small stuff, that's the stuff that you just make a quick decision and you just carry on. And it is sometimes those small things though, as they build up, especially if it's to do with good deeds, that they become amazing. And that's why, as we know, the principles of the scholars when it comes to, for example, seeking knowledge, learning Quran. Like, look at this now, alhamdulillah, we are in our seventh year of QP. Seventh year, every week we come in term time, we do one verse, two verses, three verses, and we go home or we go back. And then we come the next week and we do two or three more. And we do this week in and week out, and alhamdulillah, now we're on Surah Al-Mutaffifin. That's an amazing like way of seeking knowledge. And if you don't take anything except that methodology away, that's something which you should take forward with you in other types of knowledge, memorizing the Quran. Just imagine we did the same thing every week. One verse, two verses, three verses, five verses, 10 verses a week even. By now, like how much of the Quran would we have been able to memorize? And pretty much everyone has the capacity and the ability to do 5, 6, 7 verses a week of memorization. Even if they started off with 2 or 3, easily they could get to 5, 6, 7 within a week. And inshallah ta'ala, that's something which I hope that I will be able to help people with inshallah ta'ala in a future project, bidhnillahi ta'ala. But anyway, the point is that this methodology, right, so of doing things in small amounts but consistently and continuously, this is where knowledge and anything good has its foundation. So Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that these people will have that remorse and will have that regret. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then verse 18, now we come on to, after having spoken over the last number of lessons, these last number of verses speaking about the disbelievers and the fujjar, the evildoers, Allah Azza wa Jal will now speak about the people of righteousness and the people of goodness and the people of piety. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 18, كلا إن كتاب الأبرار لفي علين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the translation of Dr. Mustafa Khattab, but no, the virtuous are certainly bound for عليون, and then in brackets, in elevated gardens. Sahih International, no indeed, the record of the righteous is in عليون. Professor Abdul Harim, no indeed, the list of the truly good is in عليين. And Muhsin Khan, nay verily, the record, and then in brackets, writing of the deeds of al-Abrar, and then in brackets, the pious believers of Islamic monotheism is preserved in Illiyun. As you can see from these translations, like we saw when we were going through the verse of the record of the evil doers being in Sijjin, most of the translators have just kept the same Arabic word. And as we spoke about and explained with that verse, this verse is similar in terms of understanding and then explaining the meaning of the word عِلِّيِّين. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, He mentions a number of things. The first thing is that Allah Azza wa Jal again negates something. Remember we said this surah is one in which Allah Azza wa Jal uses the word kalla a number of times. Kalla inna kitab al-fujjari, kalla barrana, kalla innahum ar rabbihim, and now kalla inna kitab al-abrar. Allah Azza wa Jal is using this word kalla numerous times. So here Allah Azza wa Jal is again denying or negating something. No indeed, nay. Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that that the meaning of kalla here is indeed, right? No, indeed. وَالْوَقْفُ عَلَى تُكَذِّبُونَ. He said that, that Allah Azza wa Jal is saying that the no indeed refers to things are not as you presume or as you used to state or as you used to claim, that the people of righteousness and piety, they will be from the ones that will be lowly in the next life, or they will be the ones that were punished. And this was very common, especially amongst the Arabs and the Quraysh, the disbelievers amongst them, that they would say, if there is going to be another life, if there's going to be a hereafter, if for the sake of argument we even accept what you're saying, then surely when that day or that time comes, you will be from the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish. You'll be the lowly ones, you'll be the humiliated ones. If there's going to be a fire or a punishment, you will be the people of that fire, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions that this is what they used to think of, that this is what they used to say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran in a number of places, that they will look for those people. Allah Azza wa Jalla says they will look for those people that they assumed would be with them in the fire, but they won't find them because Allah Azza wa Jalla saved them from that punishment of the fire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says kalla in this verse, according to Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jalla is negating this notion of theirs, this claim of theirs, that they would be the ones that Allah would favor in the next life, meaning the disbelievers, and the believers would be the ones that would be lowly, just as they were usually the lowly ones in terms of their social status, their wealth, their power, their influence. They were the lowly ones in the dunya, so therefore it will be the same. It will be replicated in the akhirah. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, no indeed, that is not the case. Rather, the righteous, their record is in illiyin. They are not with you, right? They are not with you as you used to claim. Muqatil rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, no indeed refers to them not believing in the punishment that now they are experiencing. So again, it's because of the rejection that they had of that, and Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying to them, no indeed, that punishment that you thought wouldn't happen, no indeed, it is not false, but it is true, because now you can experience it and you are seeing it and witnessing it firsthand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says the record, and we spoke about this a few weeks ago when we were going through that verse concerning the sijjin and the record of the evil doers. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla now mentions the word kitab again. And as we said then, that the word kitab indicates that there is a record that is written. There is a record that is written, that is mentioned in a number of places in the Quran. And that's why it's the aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah to believe in the suhuf. Sometimes they're described as being a suhuf, which means scrolls. And sometimes they're described as being a record, a kitab. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Kahf, وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابُ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ. The record will be placed forth. And so it is something which is recorded and something which is written. Right? And as we will see, inshallah ta'ala, when we come to Surah Al-Infitar, the next verse, Allah Azza wa Jal says, "Inna alayhim lahafidhin kiraman katibin." Allah describes the angels that record and calls them katibin. So everything that we do, that we say, it is recorded. So that is the book or the record now that Allah Azza wa Jal is referring to. And that verse in Surah Al-Kahf shows that the people will be able to read what is in their records, will be shown to them. And so they will be able to see it. It's not just a virtual, metaphorical thing, but it is a literal thing. They will be able to see it and they will read therein. And that's what Allah Azza wa Jalla says in that verse in Surah Al-Kahf. When the disbelievers read in it, they will be afraid of what they find. And they will say, يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ. Woe to us, what type of record is this? لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. There is nothing small nor major, except that it is found therein. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. And they will find that which they did, everything that they did, present therein. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحْدًا. And your Lord never oppresses anyone. And so it is a literal thing. And that is also mentioned in a number of ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, Al-Abrar. This is the record of the Abrar. And the word Abrar is a plural, right? It means pious or righteous, but in the plural sense, and it is the plural of the word bar. plural of the word bar, as mentioned by a number of the scholars of Arabic language. And they are the people that Allah Azza wa Jal has declared to be righteous because they fulfilled their obligations and they stayed away from his prohibitions from the haram. Or as Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala used to say, هُمُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْذُونَ شَيْئًا حَتَّى الذَّرْ. They are those who don't harm anything, not even a grain or a seed. These are the people of Abrar, meaning that they don't oppress anyone, they don't do any evil, they don't commit any of the major sins, and they don't even harm the smallest of things. And Ibn Ashur, rahimahullah ta'ala, said al-Abrar is the plural of the word bar with a fatha on the ba, and the one who is the bar is the person that does al-birr. Al-birr means righteousness, al-bar is the one who does righteousness, al-Abrar is the plural of the word bar. These people who are the Abrar, and therefore, as you know, we can see with al-Fujjar, al-Fujjar refers to, as we said, linguistically, a person of sin, a person of evil, but sometimes these words are used to describe the worst type of evil and the worst type of sin. And this is from the language and the conventions of the Quran. So sometimes the word fajr, even in general Arabic language, we can see, and in the books of the scholars, sometimes a fajr refers to a sinful Muslim. Whereas the word fujjar or fajr can also mean a disbeliever. So it depends really on the context and the way that it is used. Because sometimes Allah Azza wa Jalla is speaking about sin and disobedience, and therefore the Muslim can be sinful and disobedience. And sometimes Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying the word sin and disobedience by referring to the ultimate sin and the ultimate disobedience, which is shirk. So likewise here, al-birr, al-abrar, al-birr means righteousness and piety. And therefore, within it, it is understood that the greatest form of righteousness and piety that these people must subscribe to, must have believed in, is that of tawheed. And it is only then after that tawheed that they did other further acts of righteousness and piety. These people, the Abrar, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لَفِي عِلِّيِّينَ. They will be in عِلِّيِّينَ or عِلِّيُّونَ, right? Depending on obviously the grammatical positioning of that word. What does the word عِلِّيُّون mean? A number of the scholars of the Arabic language said that it comes from the word عُلُو. Al-ulu means something which is high up, something which is raised. And that's what Al-Farra, the famous Arabic scholar, he said, scholar of the Arabic language, he said, عِلِّيُّون إِرْتِفَاعٌ بَعْدَ إِرْتِفَاعٌ. It is something which is high upon high, meaning extremely high. Another said, عِلِّيُّون أَعْلَى الْأَمْكِنَةِ. عِلِّيُّون refers to the highest of places. And it is said that the meaning of it is عُلُوٌ فِي عُلُوٍ مُضَاعَفٍ. It is something which is high upon high, continuously, perpetually high, meaning you're going up to the highest level possible, كَأَنَّهُ لَا غَايَةَ لَهُ, as if there is no end to that going up high, to that raising. وَلِذَلِكَ جُمِعَ بِالْوَاوْ وَالنُّونَ. And so this is, they said, the plural of the word Ali or Ulu. And so Allah, in the Arabic language, it is said that if certain words don't have, they're not verbs, right? They're not something which, or nouns that usually have a singular, a dual, and a plural, because in the Arabic language, these are the way that words are mentioned. They're mentioned either in the singular context, in the dual context, or in the plural context. And so, for example, you can say man, two men, and many men, right? رَجُلٌ رَجُلَانِ رِجَالٌ. And so this is very common in the Arabic language. You can say كِتَاب, كِتَابَان, كُتُب. And so you have always the singular, the dual, and the plural. But certain words don't follow that. They don't have a singular, they don't have a dual, they don't have a plural, like the word ulu. Ulu just means up high. You don't say two up highs, right, or two things that are two raised, right? You don't have a singular plural in that way. The Arabs, if words are like that, but then they want to pluralize it to show that it is extremely high, or that it continues to go high, they just add a waw and a noon at the end, according to these scholars of the Arabic language. And so the word عِلِّيُّون actually is the word Ali or Al-Ulu, but it doesn't normally have a plural, but Allah Azza wa Jalla uses it in the plural context here to show that it is something which is extremely high. As one of these commentators of the Arabic language said, that it is height upon height, or being raised upon being raised, as if there is no ending to it. And so to show that it is a plural of that it is extremely high, from the eloquence of the Arabic language, they just add the waw and the noon. And so that's somewhat different than, or and similar in some context, but different also from the word sijjin, right, which is the opposite to what we are discussing here that we mentioned a few weeks ago. Sijjin, as we said, comes from the word sijjin, which is to be held captive, to be imprisoned. And sijjin is the more eloquent form of that, the more extreme form of that word in an eloquent sense. And so it is extremely imprisoned or extremely held captive. Here Allah Azza wa Jalla is doing something similar. Again, it is a eloquent form of the same word, but it is done in a different way with the waw and the noon. But what does it actually refer to? What does the word illiyun refer to? According to some scholars, it refers to the highest heaven. That is where the record of these people will be kept, illiyun. And that is the statement of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah. He said that illiyun is as-sama as-sabi'atu al-ulya. It is the highest seventh heaven. And others who said something similar, this position that it is the highest of the heavens, Mujahid rahimahullah ta'ala, the student of Ibn Abbas, he said it is as-sama' as-sabi'ah, the seventh heaven. Al-Dahhak also said it is fi as-sama'i 'inda Allah, it is in the heavens with Allah, and Allah Azza wa Jalla, as we know, is above the highest of the heavens. And the scholar Shimr Ibn Atiyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he said in his tafsir of this, he said that when the soul of the believer is raised up after their death, the angels come and greet it from the lowest of the heavens, and they continue to take it higher and higher until it gets to the highest of the heavens, the seventh heavens, and that is where it is placed. And that is the meaning of the verse, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عِلِّيُّونَ كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ, right? كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ, the register inscribed, that is what is being referred to, meaning it is in the highest of the heavens. This is one position amongst the scholars of tafsir, that it is in the highest of the heavens. Others said that it's referring to the that it is also up high, but actually where illiyun is, because where is this place illiyin? Right? As we said, when it came to sijjin, it was the position of a number of the scholars that it's referring to the lowest of the heavens, or the lowest of the earths rather. And so others said that when it comes to this, it's not only the highest part of the heaven, but it is one of the legs of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is where this register is inscribed or kept. And that is mentioned by Qatada rahimahullah ta'ala as a statement of his. He said, فوق السماء السابعة عند قائمة العرش. It is in the highest of the heavens, with one of the legs, or with one of the legs of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to the right side of the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is also mentioned as being the statement of Ka'b al-Ahbar. Ka'b al-Ahbar was that famous scholar from amongst the senior tabi'een. It is said that he lived in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but he accepted Islam after his death. Or he accepted Islam towards the end of his life, but he never met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a companion. But he met Abu Bakr and Umar and many of the senior companions, and he was a Jewish man or a Christian man before Islam, and so was well-versed with the scriptures of the Jews and the Christians, and that's why he often narrates from Judeo-Christian traditions. And so he's one of the most prolific narrators of Judeo-Christian narrations when it comes to aspects of the Quran and the Sunnah. And that's something which you will find in many different narrations. And obviously the Prophet ﷺ allowed that. Hadithu an bani Israel wa la haraj. It is permissible to narrate them, so long as they don't conflict with or oppose or contradict anything within our Sharia, within our teachings. And so Ka'b al-Ahbar, that's his background, it's where he came from, and he was a scholar, a learned person from that. And so often he has these types of statements in which he speaks about things that perhaps came from that type of tradition originally, and Allah knows best. But he was also of this position that it refers to one of the legs of the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ka'b al-Ahbar said, as Qatada and Shimr ibn Atiyah and others mentioned from him, that when the believing soul is taken from the body and the different gates of the heavens are opened for it, the angels continue to greet it until it comes to the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that is where it is inscribed, meaning its register, its record, or its name is inscribed there with the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is where the angels also bear witness to that inscribing, as Allah Azza wa Jalla will mention in a few verses. And it is also said that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma had a similar statement to this, and that is that he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that it's referring to a tablet that is made of green gems that is hanging from the throne of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Within it are all of these names written and inscribed. And so the register that is inscribed, Kitabun Marqum, for the believers this is, because for the disbelievers, as we said, it is in the lowest of the earths. But for the believers, it is a tablet that is inscribed, that is hanging from the throne of Allah, or from one of the legs of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so you can see from this that we have two or three different positions that it's referring to the heavens, it's referring to the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal, or one of the legs of the thrones of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a fourth position also that Al-Qurtubi mentions, and I couldn't find, at least in my searching for it, and by no means is that extensive, but just based on what I could find from the sources that I usually go back to, my tafsir, or the tafsirs that I usually look into for this, especially in terms of what the early scholars said. But Al-Qurtubi mentions, and others then mentioned it also, from him or slightly before him, but in terms of like one of the early Salaf saying this, I couldn't find it, but Allah knows best. Anyway, he said, Rahimullah Ta'ala Qurtubi, that Al-Liyin is a description or an attribute for the angels, because they are of the highest companionship. They are the what we call Al-Mala' Al-A'la, right? As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said on his deathbed, Allahumma bir-Rafiq Al-A'la, oh Allah, give me the highest companionship. So Al-Mala' Al-A'la, the highest companionship, are the angels. So he said the Illiyin, because they are those that are up high, right? They are the highest of Allah's creation. They are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it's referring therefore to them. And again, that seems to go back down or back to the wording, right? It goes back to the wording of Al-A'la, which means up high and raised. And so Al-Qurtubi mentions that, like I said, I couldn't find one of the early scholars holding that same position, but it's possible that I missed it. It's possible that it's mentioned from one of them, and Allah knows best. Al-Imam al-Tabari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that the word illiyin and illiyun is, as we mentioned, a plural, and it means something above something, or something which is high above something which is high, or something which is raised above something which is raised. And all of this is used in the plural sense with the waw and the noon, as we explained, because these words don't have a singular and a dual normally, and so therefore what Allah Azza wa Jal, or what the Arabs do for words like this, is that they add the waw and the noon if they want to stress it in that sense. So it doesn't mean, you know, it's not literal in that sense, but it is to show that it is extremely high. He said, and as for where or what illiyin is, or where illiyun is, he says, then what is the correct position, as is often his way of doing stuff when he finds all of these different statements from amongst the Salaf. He often reconciles and gives a more general tafsir, and that is that the register of the people of Labrar, the righteous and the pious, is up extremely high, and only Allah Azza wa Jalla knows how high that is and where the ending of that height is, and we have no idea where that is, other than to say that it is above the seven heavens. So it wouldn't be lower than that, because all of these different statements of the scholars, all of them would say that it is above the seven heavens. So whether it's the throne of Allah, or the seventh heaven, or with the angels, like all of this is the same meaning. And so he says, therefore, that it wouldn't be no lower than that seventh heaven, but where after that, only Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. And that is, as we said before, as we've mentioned a number of times, Al-Imam al-Tabari, rahimahullah ta'ala, this is his way of doing tafsir, that when he sees that the scholars, the early scholars, had similar types of statements, although they may have differed in exactly the wording, the example that they're giving, but the general meaning is the same, that is the methodology that then he adopted. And other scholars, as we said, then took that methodology on, and some even extended it even more. So as we, you know, mentioned, for those of you that attended our Tafsir Sa'di lessons, Sheikh Sa'di Ibn Sa'di, rahimahullah ta'ala, is a big supporter of this methodology of al-Tabari, and he often extends it much further than al-Tabari even did. And so sometimes he will come to a word, and he will give to it its most general meaning. That's what he will take, even more general than what you will find most of the scholars of tafsir did, because the language or the word in the linguistic sense allows for it to be extremely general. And so Sheikh Ibn al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala adopted this approach. And generally speaking, especially as we said, when it comes to these types of issues, it's a good approach, right? And that's why Imam Tabari does it, because you can clearly see that there are different wordings. So why choose one wording over another? Why choose one statement of one of the scholars of the Salaf over another? And there's no clear evidence, obviously. There's no hadith, there's no verse in the Quran, there's nothing in the Sunnah that would specify any of this. And they are very similar in that general meaning anyway. And so therefore, it's possible that they are all true, or that they're all speaking by way of example, as opposed to something which is meant to be literal in that sense. So Allah Azza wa Jal says that these, the record of the people who are righteous and good, the illiyin, right, is in illiyin. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 19, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عِلِّيُّونَ, what will explain to you what illiyin is. And we're going to take very quickly the next two verses, because they are repetition of what we already did. And so these verses are not going to be repeated. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, when He spoke about the Sijjin, the disbelievers, the sinners, the disobedient, He said that their record is in Sijjin. And then He said, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا سِجِّينَ, what will explain to you what Sijjin is. And then He said, كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ, it is a register inscribed or a clearly written list, right? And these now, those two concepts are going to be repeated again, but this time for the illiyun. So verses 19 and 20, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عِلِّيُّونَ, and then in verse 20, كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ. So verse number 19, as we explained then, and so we're not going to go over this in a great level of detail, because you can go back to that lesson, because the tafsir is pretty much the same. You just have to swap the word Sijjin with Illiyun. And Kitabul Marqum is the same, but you only obviously are looking at it from the context of the believers as opposed to the disbelievers. So in terms of tafsir, it's pretty much one and the same. So Illiyun, just as a brief, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عِلِّيُونَ, as a brief recap, as Al-Imam al-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala and others said, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is speaking to His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and He's speaking to him this time, rather than disgracing or humiliating the disbelievers by saying, and what would allow you to know what is Sijjin, meaning how evil it is, how reprehensible it is, how much of a place of destruction and punishment it will be. Allah Azza wa Jalla is now speaking about it in a positive way, right? In a good way, in an amazing way. And what will allow you to know what is the nature of this illiyun? How amazing it is, how honorable it is, how noble it is, how beloved it is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will allow you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and your ummah to know the honor that Allah azza wa jalla will give to the illiyun? And that is the beauty of Islam. If you obey Allah, you obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you do what Allah commanded, you try your utmost to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His reward, Allah azza wa jalla will give to you blessings and honors and bounties and favors that you could never imagine. And so Allah Azza wa Jal is asking this question to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and therefore by extension to his ummah, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عِلِّيُّونَ, what will allow you to ever appreciate, to understand what is عِلِّيُّونَ, what Allah has contained therein. And Allah Azza wa Jal will mention, as we will come to inshallah ta'ala next week now, but we will come to, just as Allah did with the disbelievers by mentioning some of their punishments, how they're going to be screened from Allah, how they're going to be thrown in the fire, how they're going to be further humiliated by saying to them that this is what you used to deny. Allah will do the same for the believers. Allah will tell us about their rewards. Allah will go into detail and some of the rewards or the description of those rewards in Surah Mutaffifin from the most beautiful that you will find in the Quran in terms of their eloquence and in terms of, it's just snippets, right? As Allah Azza wa Jalla often does when describing the reward of the people of Jannah, it is not always comprehensive, but it is a snippet of some of the rewards, some of the blessings that they will receive, some of the honor and nobility. And it's beautiful in its words, in its eloquence. And so we will see that inshallah ta'ala as we come. And Allah Azza wa Jalla does this in places. Some of these descriptions are from the most beautiful descriptions, because they speak to the utmost and ultimate nature of the blessings and the reward of the people of Jannah. That is amazing, right? That's amazing in terms of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising to the people of Iman. And Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah ta'ala also said something similar about this verse, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عِلِّيُّونَ. He said, what will allow you to know Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is illiyun? عَلَى جِهَةِ التَّفْخِيمِ وَالتَّعْظِيمِ لِعِلِّيِّينَ. And Allah azza wa jalla is asking this question now in a way of honor and in a way of showing the magnificent nature, the supremacy of what is illiyun, as opposed to with that verse in Sijjin, where Allah Azza wa Jalla was saying this in terms of the people and their disgrace and their humiliation and their punishment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse number 20, he says, Kitabun Marqum, the clearly written list, or as some translators, that's Professor Abdul Halim's translation, but as some translators say, a register inscribed, and as others say, a fate already sealed. A fate already sealed. And we spoke about this in detail also. We spoke about how it is, according to the majority of the scholars of tafsir, the word marqum, raqam, means something which is written and inscribed, and we gave the example, and this is the position of At-Tabari and Ibn Kathir and others, rahimahumullah ta'ala, and is taken from the statements of the likes of Qatada, rahimahullah ta'ala, from the Salaf. We gave the example of the verse in Surah Al-Kahf, when Allah Azza wa Jal says, أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ, and how the word raqim and raqam means something which is inscribed, something which is written. And so therefore Allah Azza wa Jal also mentions this in the way. By the way, the word inscription or inscribed is a much more eloquent form than just to say maktub, right? So I don't know if I mentioned this at the time. Why doesn't Allah Azza wa Jal just say maktub? Kitabun maktub, right? Or kitab. The word kitab means something which is written. You understand from the word kitab, if it is book, a book, that it will contain writing within it. So why use the word raqam or marqum, or the word inscribed? The word inscribed, an inscription is usually something which is more permanent than writing. So writing, you know, if you were to write on a piece of paper, if it's, for example, pencil, you can erase it. If it's a pen, you know, it's also something which you can probably delete in one way or another, tip exit, whatever it may be. But an inscription, an inscribed something, like normally when you have a tablet or you have some stone or slate, or a rock, and you inscribe, you actually make an indentation into that material, into the rock, into the slate, onto the tablet. And so it's as if it is now there permanently. To actually take that out would mean to remove either the surface of the rock or to fill it up, or it would be a much more extensive process as opposed to simply erasing. So it's actually something there. That's why, you know, often you find, for example, on buildings, you know, when they're going to, for example, have a plaque, or for example a tombstone, if they're going to write the name of a person, that's usually done with engraving. Right? That's like an engraving, an inscription that is done in something which is more likely therefore to be permanent. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla, when He speaks about these people, perhaps, and Allah knows best, from an Arabic linguistic point of view. And that's why Muhammad ibn Ka'b, and as you can see from that translation, Muhammad ibn Ka'b al-Quradi and others said that it is something which is now sealed, right? It's done. Maktubun qad furigha min, he said, that it is something which is now finished, it's over. You can't increase anything, add anything to it, you can't remove or decrease from it. And that's because when a person dies, obviously that which they have done now is sealed, right? The record of deeds is rolled up, it is closed, it is sealed, and there is no scope for them now, generally speaking. Obviously there are some exceptions, as we know in the Sunnah, but generally speaking there's not much that they can do to add or to subtract from it. And so that word therefore gives that impression also, that if it is an inscription, if there's an engraving, it's permanent. But if it's just writing, well then maybe it can be erased, added, amended. And that's what you have during our lifetime, right? During your lifetime, something that is written in terms of your deeds can be added, enhanced, it can be erased. If you did an evil deed, it can be removed. If you did a good deed, you can do more, you can add to it, you can enhance it, you can make it better and further it. But after a person dies and that person's record of deeds is now rolled up and it's closed and it's sealed, then that person now, their inscription is permanent. Whatever's been engraved will remain there and it will stay there. And so whatever Allah Azza wa Jal has therefore written that list in, whether it's the Sijjin or the Illiyin, may Allah Azza wa Jal make us from the latter and not the former, then that's something which Allah Azza wa Jal will now make permanent. And so that word Kitabun Marqum, it gives that expression, or it gives that impression of it being of a permanent nature. And that's why even though most of the scholars of tafsir, in their tafsir of the word marqum, they just said maktub, that it means written. That's again an example of a tafsir by example, just so that we understand what's being referred to here. But Allah Azza wa Jalla uses the word that He chooses for a reason. And so from a linguistic point of view, that speaks to something which is engraved, and that shows therefore it is permanent. And that's why, as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a person passes away, all of their actions cease, except for three: a righteous child that makes dua for you, beneficial knowledge that is spread, or a sadaqah jariyah, a continuous charity. And so other than that, everything else is sealed, everything else is closed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the verses that are inshallah to come, that we will inshallah now speak about next week, Allah Azza wa Jal will speak about how the witnesses to these people are the angels. And that's why, as we said, some of the scholars were of the position that the word illiyin refers to a description of the angels, because Allah will say that they are witnesses, as opposed to the record of the sijin, where there are no witnesses, because it is in the lowest depths of the earth, the seventh earth, or the lowest of the earth, or some people said towards the fire, and therefore there is nothing noble there, or nothing at all there that is going to witness that type of record. But the righteous, the noble, no, this is recorded. That's something which is witnessed and recorded by those that are in the highest companionship. And then Allah Azza wa Jal will go on to speak about some of the rewards that Allah Azza wa Jal has prepared for the people of Jannah. But inshallah, I think for today we will stop here. So if there's any questions, inshallah, we will take them. Otherwise, we will pause, or we will conclude here. I can't see any questions on my screen. So therefore, inshallah ta'ala, we will see you all next week. Bi-ithnillah. Jazakumullah khairan. And inshallah ta'ala, next week we will continue from verse, I don't even remember what verse we were on. I think verse 21 is where we will continue from, bi-ithnillah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khairan. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.